The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
And we continue here, final nothing, second hour of the show. Trying to rush this thing along, aren't I? Welcome back in. Let's talk about some different subjects than the ones we have previously been talking about. How about the headline from the Mercury News by John Wilner? Pac-12 financial mess, fate of the networks, emergency recourse, and legal framework. Just another day in the continuing woes of the Pac-12. John joins us, certainly the nobody covers this league better than him. John, I mean, I always hate to start off with another end-of-the-world type headline from the Pac-12, but it seems like they are inescapable. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Hey, Paul. Yeah, no, this kind of came out of nowhere, and it certainly is not good. I don't know that it's going to have a ton of longer-term implications, but it's certainly likely that the schools are going to take a pretty good financial hit because of this financial, you could call it a scandal, saga, gate, whatever you want to call it. It certainly is the result of some mismanagement, no question about it.
What happened?
Well, basically, over the course of what I think is a decade, Comcast was paying the Pac-12 networks too much in their monthly fees that are all based on how many people subscribe to the Pac-12 network on the Comcast system. Comcast paid about $5 million too much. It was their accounting, you know, that generated the payment. And there was I think they were basically paying for double cost of some subscribers. Pac-12 found out about it in 2017 through an audit of the Comcast payments and basically didn't do anything about it. Now, why they didn't do anything about it, it's a little unclear. They may not have thought the audit was accurate. They may have just decided to hide it. They may have just forgotten about it. I don't know, but Comcast discovered the problem last fall and is basically billing the Pac-12 for $50 million in overpayments over the course of a decade.
Now, this is under the watchful eyes of one Larry Scott. Would that be fair to state? Yeah.
Yes, it was. He was the commissioner in 2017, and we don't know exactly what he was told and when he was told it about that audit that revealed the overpayments. Was he not told? Did he get told and then buried it? I don't know exactly, but it was on his watch. And then the two people who were fired as a result of it, including the president of the Pac-12 Network, two executives were fired last week. You know, there was a transition in commissioner. George Kliakoff took over in July of 2021, and apparently the two executives who knew about the overpayments didn't bother to tell the new commissioner and let the problem continue.
Now, John, I realize it's easy to blame Larry Scott for everything, including the debt problems in Washington, but you just said it. 2 years in, what can we say about George Kliakoff's stewardship of this league?
Well, I think it's to be written. And probably will be written in the next month or two if they sign a media rights deal that is satisfactory for the schools. And so the Pac-12 will move on, you know, under contract for the next 5-10 years. You know, the guy started in July 1st of 2021. 3 weeks later, when that was the day after name, image, likeness went into effect. And then 3 weeks later, Texas and Oklahoma happened. And then, you know, we have all the off-the-field issues facing college football, playoff expansion, you know, economic model changing. Then USC and UCLA happen. Now this, it's certainly been a barrage of events that he has had very little or nothing to do with, most of them. But I think it's to be written. I think if he can sign a media rights deal that satisfies all the schools, it will be a successful first 2 years. And if he doesn't do that, then, you know, there may not be a Pac-12 going forward for him to oversee.
What does it look like right now, John, in relation to those media rights deals?
I think they're going to figure it out, Paul, in the next month or two and get it signed. My guess is that he's going to come up with a deal that does keep the conference together. I think that's the most likely outcome. And I think they probably will then expand, add one or two more teams. You know, part of it, too, is, you know, even if the schools like Oregon and Washington aren't thrilled about the valuation that they're presented with, I don't know where they go right now, right? I mean, the Big Ten certainly seems to be done expanding. They got no commissioner. The schools aren't interested in adding more members, and the media partners aren't interested in shelling out more money. And then the Big 12, you know, it's not like the Pac-12 schools could hop to the Big 12 and all of a sudden get this cash windfall, right? I mean, the Big 12 is going to probably offer them right around $30, $31 million per school, which is basically what they're going to probably end up getting in the Pac-12. So I don't know that there's any good options for schools that want to break away, but I also don't think – I think that's plan B for everybody. The 10 schools would like to stick together and sign a deal that's either at or above what the Big 12's getting.
What does it look like, assuming that there is expansion in the Pac-12? Who would be on the so-called short list?
I think San Diego State's probably number one, right, because – you know, it's a pretty good media market, and also the Pac-12 needs to have a campus in Southern California. I mean, that is the prime recruiting territory. And if they don't invite San Diego State, the Big 12 probably will, right? Brett Yormark's made no secret about trying to get schools in the Pacific time zone. So if San Diego State's out there and available, Big 12's going to take them. And that would leave the two Big 10 teams in L.A. and a Big 12 team in San Diego, and that would not be good for Pac-12 recruiting in Southern California. So I think San Diego State is pretty much a must add. And then my guess is if they went with a 12th, and they don't have to have a 12th, I don't think, because if you don't have football divisions, you could play with an odd number. But if they do add a 12th, I think SMU might be at the top of the list, because I think that they would like to get into Dallas for recruiting and also for the media market, just to kind of expand the conference footprint.
I mean, call me skeptical, but I mean, maybe 40 years ago that would have gotten a lot of attention. And I'm not saying SMU doesn't have a good program, but I mean, are they really big enough when you combine? Let's say you get SMU and San Diego State, whose needle does that exactly move?
Well, one thing it does is it gives you inventory, right? Because if you got more teams, you could play more games and satisfy your media partners' needs for programming. I think that that's certainly part of it, right? I mean, especially if, you know, if there's a desire on the part of, say, ESPN or Amazon to have Pac-12 game every Friday night at 10 o'clock, 9 or 10 o'clock Eastern when there's no competition, you know, they need schools so that if you only got 10, then everybody's playing more frequently on Friday night, for example. If you've got 12, you can spread it out more. So I think part of it is just an inventory play, strength in numbers. And then, you know, look, San Diego State, they got a better basketball program than a lot of schools in the Pac-12. And I think that the conference feels like both of those schools meet the criteria academically and, you know, can eventually become more competitive, you know, up to Power 5 level.
Okay, I'll hold my fire until it happens. John, thanks for dropping by. I was hoping for some good news, but I'm not sure I heard a whole lot here to be upbeat about. But you be well. Take care of yourself, John.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
John Wilner, as we go to the break, I ask the audience the same question that I asked him. Would SMU and San Diego State change anything in terms of the perception of the Pac-12 when you consider they lost USC, which is one of the most marquee schools in the country, UCLA, which is not, but at least it sounds good. And the Big 12 lost Oklahoma and Texas and replaced them moderately well with Houston and UCF and Cincinnati, and who's the other school? Was it BYU? I mean, and your answer to all of that is San Diego State and SMU. We'll take a short break. Back with your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We're back on a Friday afternoon. Brad is up next in Georgia. Hey, Brad. No, Brad. How about John in Louisville? Hey, John.
I'm here. I'm answering the bell.
Good for you.
Hey, before I discuss my topics, just a quick welfare check on Randy. He took some heavy shade along with the mascots a few minutes ago.
Yeah, Randy. Randy's not happy with what Jim had to say.
And Jim had a great call, by the way. So I'm just having fun. And I think the next basketball coach over there at Kentucky should be Hugh from Deep Boyce Gap.
He tell you what. It seems like Hugh understands the dribble and drive better than John Calipari.
Absolutely, and I'm sure the other coaches were listening to how to defend against Kentucky. Hey, Paul, much appreciate the tribute you did to for Coach Bryant. And again, growing up north in my times, it was regional college football, so I learned quite a bit. But I want to get your thoughts on the passing of Billy Packard. Did you have any interaction with him?
I did know Billy. Met him early in my career. Was able to stay in touch with him over the years. And I thought he was severely underappreciated by basketball fans. I think they didn't quite understand his sharpness in terms of his opinions. I mean, Billy was not – let me compare it to Dick Vitale for a second.
Perfect.
Billy was unfiltered. He cared nothing about commercial fame or fortune. He cared nothing about anything other than spitting out his opinion of what he saw and how he viewed the game. He didn't get on a soapbox. He didn't call attention to himself. And that's what I admired about him versus others
Vitale.
Who have come after him.
Dick Vitale brings the circus with him, absolutely. And I saw that down there in Miami, first-year offensive coordinator,
Josh Gattis.
Coordinator, got the axe.
Yeah, Josh was at Alabama, and then he went to Michigan. He won the Broyles Award for the best assistant coach a year ago, hightailed it down to Miami, and he's already out. I mean, there's something about – I know Coral Gables is at least in the same time zone as the Bermuda Triangle, but what happens to coaches when they go down there?
Well, yeah, the funny thing, he was all glitz and color when he went to Michigan. He was bringing speed and space, and he didn't do well with Shea Patterson. And then, there was the bad year where everything went wrong, including 18 new starters at Michigan. Then he won the Broyles Award, but I thought it was really Jim Harbaugh's offense. It was pro style. It was to run and then pass. And I think he got more credit than he deserved. And I think often they get more discredit than what they deserve. I'm thinking there's too much being put into these coordinator positions.
Yeah, listen, when you have an offensive or defensive-minded coach, I always tend to put less emphasis on whoever gets that job, because the coach always puts his imprint, and that's what he should. I mean, if you're Jim Harbaugh and you're an offensive-minded coach, that's your offense. It's not Josh Gattis's.
Which leads to Alabama. Should they be looking for big names or find these unknowns? Going back to Michigan, they've had three defensive coordinators in 3 years, and the two replacements, young people, have done very well.
I've heard the guy that Saban really wants offensively is Jeff Lebby, but he may not be able to get him.
Oh, perfect.
Because he's been in a lot of successful systems. The problem is, I think he's pretty comfortable where he is, and going into Nick Saban's world right now may not be the most inviting.
When are we going to hear from who's the old coach at Tennessee? I've got a name lock right now.
Jeremy Pruitt.
When are we going to hear from Jeremy Pruitt's agent, Mike Griff, on that availability?
I mean, it's really. And by the way, I think. I remember Gattis being at Alabama. I thought he was. I thought he was terrible there. And
yeah, under Oxley.
Yeah, so I'm not overly surprised by Gattis, but you know the Pruitt situation. It depends on the day of the week. yesterday, the word was that Pruitt was in good shape. Today, the word is Pruitt's in bad shape. I have not heard from Griff on the Pruitt conundrum.
Great show today.
Thank you, John. Thank you for your support. We need it. George is up next. Hello, George.
Hey, Paul. Great to get into you.
Thank
Hard
you very
to get
much.
Into you. Hey, you're a saint for some of the callers you put up with. I need to say that first. But I got a couple of questions for you. We had Charlie Strong on staff down there as a consultant or whatever he was. Do you feel like he got a good chance at get kind of moving up? And then about O'Brien, I think O'Brien's offense was missing Derrick Henry or Najee Harris type back to make his offense really go. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to figure out where is Charlie Strong right now? Because I know he's been through Alabama. He's been through a couple of places.
Yeah.
I always thought Charlie Strong was a very good coach.
All the people's names and stuff I've heard thrown out even since Goldman got.
Yeah, he's at Miami now with Kevin Steele.
Okay.
I tell you, the guy who I would never rule Kevin Steele out for Alabama. I realize he's the DC at Miami, but I'm not sure how solid that position seems to be. Not his position, but the program. Kevin has worked with Nick Saban a couple of times. He's not from Alabama, but he spent a lot of time in that
Alabama
state.
Ties.
Yeah, he went to Tennessee.
Yeah, and like I said, I've never been an O'Brien fan, but I just thought, I know that everybody wanted to blame it on the wide receiver this year, but I think his biggest didn't have a big back.
I agree. I just never thought O'Brien adjusted very well to what he had. Thank you very much for the call. Homer is up next. Hello, Homer.
Hello, Paul. Nothing is neither right nor wrong, but thinking makes it so. And also, you might recall what Voltaire said or wrote centuries ago about it is dangerous to be right in matters where the authorities are wrong.
Oh, yes.
The authorities are a couple of your callers. Marty was being facetious. He was being, you know, the dirty dozen, 12, and they're just playing along. He did not do anything to the mascot that would be degrading or humiliating. They were just in jest. And God love the lady from Arkansas that called you. You recall that story, and I won't go into it. The blind man touching the elephant, the trunk, the tail, and this is what it is. Well, you know, what she saw and what I saw and what you will see if you want to review that, Marty was just having fun. And it was just all in just a little
bit. Well, I will say this, and I've been around Marty many, many times. I've never known Marty not to have fun at something like that, so... I took some of what she said with a grain of salt, but I didn't want to have to tell her that the joke was on her.
Right. Yeah, well, it's not a grain. It's a big block of salt. Now, here's the reason I called. I'm in Fort Worth, and as you probably know, Jamie Dixon has a heck of a program. And I'm not saying that because of the wham-bam game that they had with Kansas. I mean, Kansas has a good program, and that was sort of a fluke. Do I think TCU is better? Yes. That much better? 20-something points? No. But he does have a good program. So I just want to put a shout-out for the TCU Horned Frogs. And the last thing, that snowball effect, as I was telling the guy that first called in, when Georgia took TCU Horned Frogs down, the rest of the country can laugh. I watched the Horned Frogs football program. By golly, they're not in any stretch of the imagination that bad. That snowball started to go downhill, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, I felt so sorry for the boys, you know, but they're resilient. They'll come back. And so we've had a great year thus far at TCU. And so... Nice listening to you, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that as well. We're up against a break here. We have a lot to do. Bruce Feldman in the next hour. We've already had a couple of very great guests, and your phone calls are around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You know, sometimes during the breaks, I realize all of you are not here. The people on TV are, the people on radio aren't. We replay some of the calls from the previous day. I'm not sure I can I believe some of the things that happened here yesterday. Kevin is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
Hey there.
Hey, I know yesterday was 40 years Coach Bryant passed away, and I tried to get in yesterday, but you had a lot of good callers like Jerry Duncan and a few.
Oh, yeah.
But I got in today. Weeks ago, I said I met Coach Bryant when I was a little boy, and I did. But I was wanting to throw something at you, see if you remember. 1982, I'm talking about Coach Bryant's probably his last game he ever coached that was a big win. And I was in the end zone where it happened. Penn State, 1982, when the game was close back and forth till about the fourth quarter into it, and Penn State punted the ball into the snapper's rear end, and it went backwards, and we got a touchdown and then intercepted the ball. And we wound up winning by 21, and I'll never forget, Paul, my dad and my brothers were with me, and they said, well, we just seen – the national champion today as we was walking out. And we did see the national champion that day. It was Penn State because Alabama next week went to Knoxville and laid an egg to Coach Majors. So I believe that was Bears' last big win. Do you think so?
Well, yeah, I remember that day. It was at Legion Field in October, as you said. That was because after that, he really did not his next win would have been – Cincinnati, I think, if I remember the schedule correctly. And then he beat, then he lost three straight and beat Illinois, which really, I mean, I know Illinois was important because it was his final game, but that went over the number two team in the country would have to qualify as pretty big.
Yeah, I think they went on to lose to LSU and
yeah, well, what happened was they lost to, yeah, you're right. I may have had that out of whack. I'm trying to remember the order.
I can't remember either,
yeah,
Paul.
But,
I'm just
I know they
memory.
Lost to
LSU.
I think
they lost four games that year.
Yeah, they lost to LSU. Yeah, I'll look it up because I should remember it. I think the LSU game, it was LSU. Yeah, they came back and beat Cincinnati after Tennessee, and then they lost to LSU, Southern Miss, and Auburn back in three
Correct.
Straight. Yeah.
That's it. And I was just thinking about Coach Bryant. That was probably his last big win. And I was in the end zone where that boy snapped the ball or punted the ball into the snapper of Penn State, and it went downhill after that. Alabama just kind of cruised. And I remember walking out, my father saying, "We've seen the national championship or champions that day," and it was Penn State. They won. I think they won out, and I forget who they beat.
Well, they beat. I'll tell you who they beat. They beat Georgia.
Okay, that's right, in the Sugar Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, but I remember that game, and I was just wondering if you remember it. Paul, I want to say a BAMA, Bama all the way, Roll Tide, and you have a good weekend.
Thank you. Yeah, by the way, I had that wrong. They had, after the Tennessee, they played Penn State, Tennessee, and then Cincinnati, and then they beat a pretty good Mississippi State team, and then it all started to come undone. Mississippi State was pretty highly regarded. Well, I think they, I'm not sure how highly regarded. That game was at Mississippi State. But 40 years ago, remember it all fairly well. Thanks for the phone call. Let's check out Jimmy in Georgia. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Well, thank you. Good afternoon.
I appreciate you taking my call. Long, long, long time listener. Called in a couple of times. But wanted to... I hope you don't cut me off after I say this. Let your listeners know that I had the good fortune of meeting you back in 2019 at the Georgia-Florida game. I'm a Georgia season ticket holder. And I got to tell your listeners and your fans that you were one of the most down-to-earth, humble people. And I've met a lot of athletes, musicians, politicians. My company put me in a position that I was fortunate enough to be able to do that, and you were kind enough to sit around, stand during a break, and talk to me, take pictures with me, excuse me, and then the big thing I got to thank you for is my wife loves Tim Tebow, and he actually stood over and talked with her because he was there, you know, on your set, and she was able to get a picture with him, and she just loves that, but. Anyway, I also want to thank you. I had a total knee replacement. I retired in 2014 and had a total knee replacement in October. And so you can imagine that 3 o'clock every afternoon, I'm parked in front of my TV watching your show. And I've loved the coverage that you did for Mike Leach. I watched the memorial service and everything after that. And I especially want to thank you for the exposure that you've given all of us that listen to you each and every day to Booker. That man is incredible. And I want to thank you for the coverage that you gave the tragedy at Georgia. Obviously, it affected the Dog Nation, and we really love what you did for us there. And then your question today, who's the GOAT from your team? Not to insult Alabama fans, but Kirby Smart is my GOAT. And one thing I learned when I was working during my 35-year career is GOATs train GOATs. And Nick Saban is the GOAT right now. And I'll leave it there. But my last point, and what I told your producers who do a fantastic job, is one of the things that I kept seeing during December when I was sitting here with my leg propped up with an ice pack on it, my knee, was that, you know, the bowl games. You were talking about, with a lot of callers, agreeing with a lot of callers, that the early bowl games are really not worth watching. And let me make this point. and my percentages may be off, but I would say less than 5% of all high school football players make it to a college and play college football. Would that be pretty accurate?
Yes, it would.
Okay. And then less than 5% of those college players make it to the NFL. Would that be pretty accurate?
Definitely.
Okay. So I watch, I play the ESPN College Bowl Mania, and I do a lot of research, and I try to pick winners, and I think I hit about 96% this past bowl season, but which ranked me very, very low. Don't think that was a good number. But my point is that I watch the early bowl games because most of the guys out there playing football in those earlier bowl games are playing the very last organized football game in their lifetime. And I just think that some of those games are really, really great to watch. And one example that I'll use, and this will show you how deep I go watching these games, and the reason for this is because, as Louis Grizzard once said, my employer decided that I needed to be exiled to Illinois for 13 years of my career. And so I spent 13 years in Big Ten country. But the team that caught my eye when I was up there was North Dakota State, because they just kept winning, and then they got knocked off this year. And when I watched a lot of the early bowl games with a lot of interest, because when you watch NFL rosters and you start looking at some of the people that are really becoming all pro, they don't come from real big universities, the Power Five universities. I mean, you know, obviously we've got a lot of good ones. I'm very proud of, in fact, I gravitate towards teams that have Georgia football players on them, and I'm pulling for the Philadelphia Eagles to win the Super Bowl. But I would say that, you know, these earlier bowl games, if you pay attention to them, you may be watching people that are NFL Hall of Famers down the road and are paving the way for their careers in these bowl games. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Now, Jimmy, thank you. Before I forget, thanks for everything you said. It was really some kind comments, and I'm glad we were a very small part of your rehab. But that is a good point. I think sometimes we get caught up in the big picture and forget until you meet someone or know someone or like you call in how important all of these are to the participants. You be well. Take care of yourself. I-Man is up next.
You know what, Paul? That guy that just called, he's got too much damn time on his hands. He went through the Rolodex A through Z on that phone call. I mean, in 2014, he had a knee replacement, and he went right to Mike Leach. And he's still getting over that knee replacement. That dude's got way too much time on his hands. But we appreciate him being here with you.
Are you stepping on my call right now?
No. You know, and I appreciate Jim always referring to me when I wrote that term, you're stepping on a good call. I appreciate that. I mean, you know.
But you delivered it very calmly. He says it frantically.
Well, I mean, you know, I just said it that way too, and that's the way it rolls. I mean, you're stepping on a good call. But that guy, he's got too much time on his hands. And I tell you, Paul, how much longer is it going to – let me ask you this. How many more times today are you going to hear, has Alabama got offense, a defensive coordinator? Who you think they're going to get, Paul? Who you think they're going to get? I mean, and then Matt calls in. I won't talk about Texas A&M. That guy on the motorcycle, he's quarterback developer. He's a quarterback whisperer. He's done good everywhere. Has Alabama got coordinated yet? I mean, how many times do these people, let me ask you, Paul, and that guy's call, that's 5% of my life I won't never get back. I'm talking about never get back. And you know what? Let me take it even further. And out of those 5% of those guys that get to the pros, hell, 2% get on TV, and they shouldn't be on TV analyzing nothing. But anyway, Paul, let's move along. How many more times do you honestly
think?
Hey,
I have to. Can I ask you one question, man? Because I've been tied up all day.
Sure,
you're in Alabama,
sure.
Right?
I'm in Alabama.
And you've had your radio on.
I've had the radio on.
Have you heard anything about either the offense or defensive coordinator position at Alabama today on the radio?
Hell no. I mean, we sitting here with tater salad and chicken waiting to go to somebody's house to deliver and say congratulations. We're so proud y'all finally got somebody, that Nick Saban could find somebody that would actually come in and take that damn job. He's done run off everybody in the country. Don't nobody want to work for him. He's going to start retreading old washed-up athletes that he's had up there and old washed-up coaches. And then somebody called and said, you know, there's not near enough black coaches at the University of Alabama. There's not near enough Japanese. There's not near enough Arabs. There's not near enough anything. But, Paul, let me ask you something. Out of the percentages of the people that call you, how many of those people do you think actually listen to this program and the conversations that's taking place while they're on hold? Some of them will hold for a long time. And they're so stuck to that one question they've been trying to ask for 6.5 months. Hell, all of them. That's 5% of everything I won't never get back. And listen, do me a favor. As soon as Alabama hires some damn coaches, will you tell us and put it on a scrolling bar on TV so won't nobody ever call again? Have a good day.
We will come right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And welcome back. Bubba is up next as we continue right here on a Friday afternoon.
Hey, Paul. A caller called earlier about the 76 Alabama-Notre Dame game at South Bend.
Right.
I was on the USS Hundley, and my captain let me leave the ship to go to that game.
Really?
My Navy buddy from Notre Dame said his brother had tickets for me. So I got on a plane, flew to Chicago, and then we made it to South Bend. And when we got there, his brother walked up and said, I did not get the tickets.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had to watch the game in a household of Notre Dame fans. And, the only thing the guy messed up on, the score was not 17-16, it was 21-18.
Okay.
Jeff Rutledge was driving down for the winning score and threw an interception inside the 20-yard line to close out the game and buy the loss. But anyway, I come in.
That's amazing. No, I don't remember that game. How far away did you have to come to? Where were you stationed again?
Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, okay, Charleston. Okay, so it was just Charleston to Chicago. Well, by the way, I realize it's been 45 years, but I feel terrible you didn't get tickets to the game.
Well, I became a season ticket holder. Okay. I paid them back. I took them to a couple of Alabama games. Okay. Okay.
Well, you got to. Well, they played Notre Dame again. What in Birmingham? When was the next game?
I think it's coming up. 28-30,
something like that. Yeah, no, I'm talking about, you know, so 76, and I know Alabama played Notre Dame in 80, did they? I remember
86.
The
they played them in 80?
They played in 80. That was the game Alabama was shut out, and then they played
lost
again
7-0.
In 86 and 87. I remember going to the game in 87. Bill Curry got, it was like 37-6. I mean, it was a pasting.
Oh, he got slaughtered, yeah.
Yeah.
Ray Perkins beat them in 86.
Yeah, that was a game. That was the first time I think Alabama had beaten Notre Dame.
It was.
Right. So.
Yeah, okay.
Was that the game that was it Burline, the quarterback, just got flattened by Cornelius?
Sure Bennett? Was, okay. And he fumbled the ball.
Right.
He fumbled the ball, and they said he was down. Cornelius Bennett knocked him down.
Hey, by the way, Bubba, I can't remember where it was. I saw Burline a number of years later, and just to be a jerk, I said, "Hey, have you ever recovered from that hit by Cornelius Bennett?" And I duck pretty quickly. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.